Morning Outlook family. Good to see everyone this morning. I just want to say right up front, I've been fighting a head cold all week, so forgive any frogginess that you hear in my voice. I hope it doesn't irritate you too much. Just wanted to apologize ahead of time for that. But thanks for coming to church this morning. Are you glad you're here? I sure am too. Yes, amen. What a great way to start the year, as Josh said, worshiping the Lord together. It's a great thing to do. And so I just want to pause for a moment and pray, prepare our hearts as we dig into God's Word. Can we do that? Father, we're hitting pause on everything right now in our lives and focusing on only one thing, and that is you and your Word to us this morning. And so, Father, we ask that you'd help us to clear all distractions. And for the next few minutes, Lord, focus in on what it is you have to say to us as we dig into your Word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd be with me and that my words would be only yours and that only what's from you will be remembered by any of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My goal in our new series, which we're starting today, is to help each of us identify our next step in our spiritual growth and then to take that step. It's really that simple. That's the premise for how we're going to spend the next couple of months. That each of us has a next step to take. We're going to talk about how to discern what that is and then how to take that step. So this morning, to lay the groundwork, I want to make an essential point here. Spiritual growth is vital for each of us, and its neglect is never neutral. It's never neutral. No single goal that you set, no habit that you form, no investment you make this year, no book you read, no weight you lose, no miles you log, no promotion you earn will come close to being as essential and as crucial to your thriving as a human being in this next year than what you choose to do in terms of tending to your spiritual health. It is the single most important thing you can do this year or any year, and it will reap dividends in every area of your life. Now, as I say that this morning, I just want to make sure we all hear what I'm not saying. This is not a pressuresome thing. I want to encourage us this morning to really think about our priorities and how tending to our spiritual health is the single most important thing that we can do. But what I'm not talking about, I don't want anything that I'm saying this morning to feel like, oh my goodness, yeah, you know, I've got all these other goals I want for this year, and now the pastor's laying this one on me. It's like getting on a treadmill, and then someone walks up to the treadmill and keeps hitting that up arrow, right? You're on the treadmill, and someone else is doing that. Faster, faster, faster. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. But what we are talking about is very real. It's even urgent. The reality of the situation is that if we think we can coast in the area of our spiritual health, we'll make a serious mistake. And it will have consequences in our lives. So let's make some observations this morning and lay the groundwork for what we're going to be looking at in this series. We're talking about the fact that our lives are lived step by step. And so the first observation I want to make is simply this: every step matters. Every step we take matters. What are the first things that come to mind when we think of resolutions or goals for the new year? We might have some health goals or some financial goals or educational goals or relationship goals or professional goals. And all those are good. But let it be a litmus test for you and me this morning. What are the first goals that come to mind when we think of this year ahead? And if those first goals don't include anything regarding our spiritual life, that should cause us to pause and evaluate for a moment. Why not? Why isn't that some of the first things that come to my mind? Let's make sure we're seeking first things first. That's how Jesus put it so famously, a verse we've heard perhaps many times: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That there really is, pardon me, sorry about that. There really is a prioritization that has to happen in all of our lives. And until it happens, until Him and His kingdom become our number one priority, things just don't fall together the way they need to. You can call them goals, you can call them aims or simply priorities, but what we're really just simply talking about is what we walk toward, what our lives are taking steps toward. When I take steps in my life, make decisions, take actions, choose to do this or that thing, we'll call that taking a step. What am I taking a step toward? What am I choosing to apply myself to? Now, it may seem weird to think of spiritual goals, and I get that. That's fine. But can we at least think of it as, what am I going to apply myself to in the months ahead so that I can grow and flourish in that area? It makes perfect sense for us in other areas. If I want to grow and flourish in my professional life, then there might be some continuing education I need to do. There might be some seminars I'll take. There might be some goals I'll set at work. We get all that. In our spiritual lives, the principles still apply. How am I going to aim myself? Where am I going to point myself in terms of what am I going to do this year so that I flourish and grow in that area of my life too? What's first? What matters most? And what am I doing about that? How am I applying myself to these priorities? As we answer those questions, we will likely find a difference or a delta between our intentions and our actions. Anyone ever felt like that? You have good intentions in lots of areas in our lives, right? But then our actions don't always match up. And one of the first things we have to do is get those two things together. But we have to identify that there is a separation, there is a difference. Andy Stanley puts it like this in his book, The Principle of the Path. He says, when we discover those subtle and sometimes not so subtle discrepancies between intent and lifestyle, we should stop and pay attention. So we're talking about a little bit of self-examination here. What are the things I say are important, and then what do I actually do day by day? The difference between what we say and what we do, between our words and our walk, our steps. This is what I say I want. Am I taking steps toward that? I believe probably every soul in here and everyone who might be listening online, you want to grow in your relationship with Christ. But we have to stop and ask, but am I actually doing anything to help make that happen? Stanley goes on, we should break the habit of drawing a circle around individual decisions and events and dismissing them as isolated occurrences. These are steps, steps that lead somewhere because life is connected. He's identifying that we all have a tendency to say, oh, that's just a thing I did, or oh, that's just a day I wasted, or oh, that's just a decision I made, and we don't see it as a step pointing us in a certain direction. But we have to see, we can't just dismiss them. We have to realize that every decision we make, every step we take, is leading us in a direction toward or away from our priorities. Steps in our commitment to Christ, steps in our relationships, steps in our worship, steps in our giving and generosity, steps in mission and outreach, steps in learning, all these steps that we take. Now again, what I'm talking about, it's not meant to be an obligation, this is not meant to be a heavy thing. I want to invite us to see into seeing these things as an opportunity, as a light and joyful thing. Jesus is giving us an awesome life to live. We get to live it. And that's what I hope we can hear. I want to encourage you to seek God's kingdom first, God's life in you, and to walk it out. To walk it out. Take steps on His way. There's a dangerous misperception that exists. It gives us the impression that our faith is a transaction that we executed, kind of like an insurance policy we bought and signed, when really our faith is meant to be a transformation that we're called to experience and engage in. And there's a huge difference. If we think our faith is just what gets us to heaven, then we've really sold ourselves short of what it's really all about. It's meant to transform us. And Paul puts it like this to the Philippians at one point. He says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, catch this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." In other words, with reverence, with awe, with seriousness. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Here we see a beautiful description of the both and that is the Christian life, that is the life of a disciple of Jesus. We work out our salvation while God is working in us. Both of those are in that sentence. Continue to work out your salvation. What that tells me is every step matters. That today I have things to do and decisions to make and habits to form and disciplines to make a part of my life so that I can continue to work out this thing that is salvation in Christ. Continue to work that out. Walk it out. Make it real. Apply yourself to it. Put your shoulder behind it. Invest in it. You know, if you own a car or like a classic car, the worst thing you can do with a car is just leave it in the garage, right? You got to drive it. You got to keep the oil flowing. You got to keep everything in good shape. The worst thing you can do with a car is just leave it in the garage. You got to get it out. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. This salvation that we've been given, man, we got to drive that thing. We got to get behind the wheel and see what it's made of, see what it can do, see what it's built for. It's built to take us places. It's built to be enjoyed and lived. If we believe what the Bible says, that Jesus comes to give us a new life, oh man, we got to live it. We get to live that new life. It's not just words. That sounds pretty good to me, right? Living a new life. So every step matters. We can't forget it. The other thing we can't forget is that we're always moving. We're always moving. Although we're not always moving forward. Forward on the right path doesn't happen by accident. We're always taking steps. Our spiritual health is dynamic. It's not static. It's not something that we can just click into and then we've arrived at a certain point. A lot of times I encourage you to think of your soul as a garden, your heart, your character as a garden. And if you've ever gardened, you know that a garden only thrives if it's well tended, right? You got to pull the weeds, you got to turn that soil, you've got to fertilize, you've got to water, you got to pay attention to it. And our hearts, our characters, they're the same way. Another word picture would be that our soul is like a river. And water is only good when it's moving, when it's fresh. Jesus said that we're like a spring. He wants the Holy Spirit like to be in us like a spring. But when water turns into a swamp, right, when it stops moving, it gets nasty, it smells, it gets infected. And the same is true for us. When we stop moving, when we settle, no good thing happens in us. We've got to keep taking those steps. We've got to keep applying ourselves and moving because there is no just holding your ground. You're either moving forward or you're slipping back. It's true of all of us. Consider these words in Hebrews chapter 2. "We ought, therefore, to pay the greatest attention to the truth that we've heard and not allow ourselves to drift away from it." Now, that speaks of engagement, right? This Christian life is not something where you got your ticket punched and now you're good. It's something that you live out. You get to enjoy. You get to be a part of. And so we've got to stay engaged in gear and pay attention to truth. Tend to the garden of our hearts. Because if we don't, we will tend to drift away. It's like Newton's first law applied to our souls. It's the physics of faith. There's a momentum to our choices. And when we disengage, when we slip out of gear in our following of Jesus, we can think that we can just coast for a while, but we will inevitably drift. And drift is deadly. Can we say those three words together? Drift is deadly. You become untethered from truth, you'll start to believe any lie. You unhitch yourself from God's understanding of what's healthy and holy, and you will find yourself making compromises and committing sins you never thought you would. You cut anchor from the firm rock of Jesus' teaching, and you'll soon find yourself adrift and confused by the many godless philosophies swirling around in this world. We've got to pay attention to the truth we've been given so we don't drift. A.W. Tozer wrote in The Pursuit of God, "Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. We must ascend a step at a time. If we refuse one step, we bring our progress to an end." If I could summarize everything that I'll be saying in these next few weeks, it's right there. We each have a next step to take. We each do. And when we decide we're done taking steps, when we decide we've taken enough steps, we've just condemned ourselves to a spiritual life of we've stopped our growth. And nothing good flows from that. We don't drift anywhere good. When we drift, we're just going to find ourselves in the ditch. It requires discipline. It requires some engagement. It requires right priorities to make sure we don't drift. Nowhere is this better described than in this passage in 2 Peter. And it's a few sentences long, and we're going to just move through it. Nowhere is this better described. This is a fantastic passage to really plant in your heart. Peter says this, "He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature." Okay, already we have an action verb here, participate. We participate in our salvation, in the divine nature that now has been given to us, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So already we're engaged. We're participating in this thing. We're not spectators. We're on the court. We're in the game. We're growing. We're engaged. We're tending to the garden of our heart. And then he goes on, "For this very reason, because of his promises, because of our participation, make every effort," more action verb, right? "Make every effort. Exert yourself. Put your shoulder behind, adding to your faith," which is where this all begins, right? Our whole Christian life begins by putting our faith in Christ. "Now, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." So all these virtues that we can grow in ourselves. Think of each of those as like a vegetable or a flower in our garden, right? In our character. And we cultivate that. We grow that. We make every effort to do that. And then he says this, catch this. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Peter could not make it more clear that this Christian life, this life of a disciple of Jesus, which we all together help ourselves, we're helping each other live, is a life of engagement and growth. It is in no way ever painted as a life in which we just got our ticket punched so we could go to heaven. He gives us really two possibilities there at the end. We're either growing in these qualities in increasing measure, we're maturing, we're growing spiritually, or we're ineffective and unproductive. It's one or the other. We're either engaged and growing or ineffective and unproductive, and it's one or the other. So we have to ask ourselves, as we consider this, am I satisfied with not growing spiritually? Really, if we were just honest with ourselves, I'm not questioning or negating our salvation, whether we'll spend eternity with God, but I am asking how we'll explain to Him that we didn't do anything to engage in the salvation that He's given us. Am I okay with not conquering my bad habits by the power of the Spirit? Am I okay with sinning as much this year as I did last year? Am I okay not overcoming some anger or harboring the same resentment this year as before? Am I okay knowing Jesus no better, following him no more closely, understanding his word no more fully? Do I think that I've reached a point that I'm good enough, I'm fine, I'm healthy enough, I've got enough things under control that I can just kind of stay right here? I'll focus on some other stuff. My spiritual life, yeah, you know, it's no problem. Where do you want to go in your spiritual growth? What if I told you that your next step, whatever it is, answers that question? Because every step matters. And we're always moving. And finally, it's direction that makes the difference. It's direction that makes the difference. What we're aiming at. When we boil all this down, what we're really saying is that we must pay attention to where we set our aim. Anyone get a Fitbit for Christmas? Right, you know, they're fairly popular, and a lot of people, you know, are counting their steps. We're talking about taking our next step, just one next step. We might talk to each other and say, you know, I took 10,000 steps today. I went nowhere, but hey, I took 10,000 steps. And of course, it can be good to count your steps for some reasons to be fit and all that good stuff. We count our steps. I'm asking us to check our direction because we're always taking steps. But where are we going? How are we investing ourselves? You know, as a pastor, I get to sit down and talk to people a lot about what's going on in their lives. I've talked to many individuals who want to discuss their problems. But in the end, most of the time, they don't really have problems. They've chosen to live in a direction that isn't healthy. They don't need a solution. They need a new direction. They got to set their aim in a new way. John Wooden was probably one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, and he said it best, never confuse activity with accomplishment. Never confuse activity with accomplishment. Sure, you can take 10,000 steps, but have you gone anywhere? I honestly have come to believe that this is one of our culture's current handicaps, the inability to tell the difference between the truly significant, a truly significant cause and a merely entertaining diversion. We can be passive about some of the most important or heartbreaking things in the world and yet get so passionate about things of very little consequence. What difference are my steps taking, my day-to-day decisions? Are they making a difference in the world? Where am I aimed? Our own Robin Priest, our connection minister, is climbing Mount Kilimanjaro right now. Yeah, she's over in Africa right now. She's raising $5,000 to build classrooms for a school in Kenya. And so part of that, people sponsored her, made donations, and she is climbing Mount Kilimanjaro right now. I can't wait when she gets back, see the pictures, and hear all about it. She's taking lots of steps, and she's definitely going somewhere. Amen? We're very proud of her. See, there simply is, catch this, there simply is no such thing as following Jesus to heaven and not following him in his work and mission. We cannot say we're Jesus followers because we want to follow him to eternity in heaven while we don't follow him as he's doing his work in this world. We've got to ask ourselves, what am I aiming for? What are the most important goals I've set in my life, or at least aims or priorities, however you want to look at it? The power of our aim cannot be underestimated. We know that in 2016, we as a church set a few goals, a few aims. We said that we were praying for 100 new members. We saw 84 people become members of our church last year, so we didn't quite make 100. We were aiming for 500 guests. We got 466. We were aiming for 20 new groups. We got at least 10, maybe a little bit more. Did we reach each goal? Not quite. But the presence of each goal focused our plans. They pulled us forward. They got us thinking about things and taught us things that we would not have learned without them. I'll talk more about that during my announcement time when we talk about groups. But it got us thinking and talking, even as a congregation, that about things that we wouldn't have thought of before. People started thinking about the value of the membership decision. People started talking to us about the value of inviting people to church, and we saw great things come from that, all because the goal or the aim, the priority, got us thinking about that. Sometime late in the summer, I realized that I really wasn't reading the way I used to and the way I wanted to. I was reading books enough to do sermons, right? I was reading books to teach classes, but I wasn't really reading the way I used to, and I wasn't really reading in the way that I enjoyed. I like reading about a lot of different subjects, science and business and history and all kinds of stuff, and I found I wasn't really doing that. So I set a goal sometime in late summer that I'd read a certain number of books before the end of the year. I didn't quite make that one either. I made it to within two. So I'm in the middle of about three others, but hey, I didn't make it by December 31st. But you know what? I know that I would not have read the books I read had I not set the goal. And so goals do that for us. Aims do that for us. And I would encourage you to think about that, whether it's reading your Bible or you name it. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. In other words, don't slip back. He recognizes it again right there. If you don't press on, you're going to slip back. So don't lose any ground in your spiritual growth, he says. Keep pressing on to that prize, that well done, that we will hear at the end of our lives. Don't slip back, but press on. Strain toward what is ahead. And as long as this remains just an idea that we agree with and not a conviction we act upon, these taking steps toward it, we simply will not be spiritually healthy. If we think we're good enough or okay, then we will end up sliding back, drifting. It's just like when we say we want to be physically healthy. We have the intention to be physically healthy, but that requires eating differently and exercising. And we see the delta, right? We see the difference. It's very obvious for all of us in that way. It's not so different in our spiritual life. Say yes to Jesus and make a commitment to him and his family, the church, if you haven't. Perhaps that's your next step. Engage with the scriptures and learn what it means to live according to God's ways. Come to church regularly and often, not because I have profound things to say, but because of Jesus and his word and his family. We need him and we need each other. Get connected and grow in a group. Discover how you're gifted and serve on a team. Reach out and share some Jesus love with others, locally or around the world. All these things might be your next step. To quote Andy Stanley one more time in his book, The Principle of the Path, he says, this principle governs all aspects of life, including dating, marriage, child raising, career, finances, health, you name it. Direction, not intention, hopes, dreams, prayers, beliefs, intellect, or education, determines destination. You're getting to where you're pointed, the steps you've chosen to take. No matter what you want to do or say is most important. He goes on, I know it's tempting to believe that our good intentions, aspirations, and dreams somehow have the ability to do an end run around the decisions that we make on a daily basis, our steps. But at the end of the day, he says, you and I will win or lose in life by the paths we choose. See, progress requires effort and energy. Growth for you and for me is essential. And neglect yields stagnation. Drift is deadly. I hope you hear my heart this morning, even if my voice is all froggy here. I hope you hear my heart is that I just want the best for all of us. And I want this to be a year that you're growing and thriving as a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't matter what age you are. We can easily tell ourselves, I'm too young, or we can easily tell ourselves, I'm too old. Both are wrong. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There's still a next step for you. It doesn't matter what your level of education or experience is, what your talents or abilities are or feel you don't, or the ones you feel you don't have. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong this morning or yesterday or what any of your yesterdays have included. You have a next step to take. You do. And together, we're going to find it. Proverbs 3 says, in all your ways, simply acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight.